everybody. On this episode of the Cooligans, oh man, it's exciting. We talk so much about the Inter Miami versus Atlanta game. What a rivalry that's become. Fafa Pico for what? Who knew? LA Galaxy versus Portland, no penalty calls, crazy. NYCFC wins, and you might see your boys in the background. We talk a lot about all that. Also, we talk a little bit on NWSL.
That's right.
Barcelona is crazy, bro.
Let's go. And then we're also joined by Danny Pereira, midfielder for Austin FC. We're going to be chatting about his time at the club and everything going on, and all, you know, all the dances he does on TikTok. Yes. Also, we're going to chat some Carabao Cup. Congrats to Newcastle. We'll break it all down today on the Cooligans.
I don't know if this happens to you. This happens to me a lot. This feels like a very Alexis thing. This does not feel like a Christian thing. I go to a restaurant, right? Went to Una Pizza, which is one of it's quite possibly right now the hardest reservation to get in all of New York City.
Never heard of it.
Okay. But. Of course you have. It's a guy, Anthony Mangieri. He started out in Point Pleasant making sourdough like two decades before anyone ever mentioned the word sourdough.
Okay.
He started making like real fresh bread. He was saying the bread was making us sick. He was one of those guys. And people were like, what's this guy talking about? You know, he was in Point Pleasant. It became very popular. He wanted to open up a pizza place. Ended up going to San Francisco for that. Comes back to New York, opens this beautiful place. At first, people were unsure of it. It's now become the hardest reservation in all of New York City to get. I got very lucky. I get a reservation. I take the wife. We're celebrating. She just got starting a new job on Monday. I said, let's go to Una, right? She knows somebody who works at Una as well. So we sit down. I know the pizza guy. She knows her. We're, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. We order two pies, right? And they bring the rest of the menu.
Two pies for just you and your wife.
They're wood fired. So they're four pieces each.
Okay. I'm just making sure. They're small. I'm thinking New York, big eight slices.
Or were probably thinking, okay, you got two pies. What did she get?
What did your wife get to eat, Alexis?
So here's the rule. Whenever you go to a pizzeria we haven't been before, she hadn't been there. I'd been there once before in the old generation. So you kind of broke up with his partners or whatever. But you always have to get a margarita. That's like the first, right? So I was like, okay, we got to get the margarita. That's the first bite you take is the margarita. That's okay. How you taste whether a pizza is good or not. Just crust, sauce, cheese. And then you get whatever the hell else you want, right? You can go crazy. So we're sitting there. There's some toppings you can add to your pizza. There's some that's like long hot peppers. There's pepperoni. But for the most part, they have like four or five very well-designed pies. Everything is very simple, very pure. That's what you get. And then there's like a bunch of starters.
Yeah.
We ordered one starter. I think we got the burrata special. It's just burrata and like oil and stuff. And then we got the two pies. They bring over the whole menu, right? It's not a huge menu, so it wasn't a lot. But a small table, just the two of us, there's plates everywhere, right? We're having a good time. My wife's like, I'm going to be too full to eat the pizzas. I'm like, well, you need to stop eating right this moment, right? So I look over. The guy's making the pizza next to me, and I see he's putting the pepperoni. We didn't order the pepperoni. I wanted to try the pepperoni. I see he puts the pepperoni on, the sliced pepperoni. They slice it fresh. He puts it on raw. And I said, oh. That's Sula Maria Belize, the pepperoni. That's where he gets it from.
Okay.
And my wife's like, did you just make that up? And I said, no. I think you and I went there once. It's not far from here. Before I made my trip to Minnesota. I said, no, it's Sula Maria Belize. I could tell from looking at it.
Got it. Yeah.
The waiter's like, do you think that's, you know that pepperoni? Do you work in pepperoni? Which is one of the funniest questions, but also.
Are you the mayor of pepperoni?
Here's the thing. I felt bad saying no because I feel like I look like I work in pepperoni. You know what I mean? I feel like I match the description of someone who would be in the pepperoni business. But I said, no, I could just tell from looking at it. And the guy's like, I'm going to confirm that and I'll be right back. I said, please let me know. It was. I was right. I was 100% right. But Anthony's like, you could tell from the guy making the pizza. Like, you could tell from looking at it. Yeah. Brings us out another pie, one with pepperoni on it. My wife's already full, right? Here's the thing. Wood fire pizza, you have to eat right away. So it'd be disrespectful of me to not at least try it. And it looks like I'd hate it if I only had one piece.
Okay.
So you gotta eat the whole thing, right? You gotta eat the whole thing.
Okay, well, what are these?
Think of this conundrum.
What is this etiquette?
Exactly. Just think of the conundrum, okay? You are getting, it's one of the hardest reservations to get in all of New York City. The guy's making it for you special, and he's literally next to you.
Right.
How could you only eat once? It would look like you didn't like it. What do you do? If you're sitting across from me and this happens to you, I'm Don in this situation. You or me.
Yeah,
but what would you do in this situation?
I'm not going to get bullied into eating anything.
There's no bully. You have to have the right decorum, right?
Look, some people, Look, this is why you need people like you in a group.
You know what? I'm starting to say, I want you to finish because I feel like I'm getting a compliment here. But please tell me what my position is here.
I'm just saying, it's like this kind of this rules, this etiquette around food. Like, I wouldn't even think that the chef would be insulted by me not finishing this whole pizza after eating a whole bunch of other pizza.
Yeah, well, just two other small, and again, they're small pies.
Okay, well, yeah.
So you basically, we ate a pie each. And here comes this another pie.
Okay.
How much of that do you think you need to eat before the chef's like, all right.
But that's the thing. That I'm not thinking about how the chef feels.
Give me the Christian. The guy's next to you. He's looking literally next to you looking down.
At most half. If I was like full and I didn't really want to eat much more, half. I mean.
And then you'd have to do the stomach like, oh. You'd do the stomach pal. Oh,
Anthony. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. If I had more space. Big oh, my toned. God. Yeah. You don't even know I would eat this whole restaurant.
You'd even know. I can't wait to take this home. You got to do the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to cut that part out. So I ate the whole thing. I ate the whole thing.
Okay, well, good. You know, good for you.
Here's the other thing my wife did. She took a couple bites. First pie. First slice. Took a couple bites. Finished the part that's covered by the sauce and cheese and left the rest on the plate. And I said, babe,
yeah,
we can't do that.
We can't do this. I mean,
that's the most disrespectful.
The chef is going to tell me to divorce
you. I mean, give me the look. Like,
you're going to bring this woman right? into my
restaurant? He puts a hinge up against the glass. You can't do that. That's very disrespectful to the pizza place.
Okay, look, this is not my arena. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not. Yeah.
I'm sharing my world with you.
I go. I pay for the food. I would assume that the chef is happy. I paid the money to for him to make the meal.
You know so little about the restaurant.
And we all go
you
home.
Think that's it, dude?
We all go home. We
it's
shake.
It's a gift from the chef. You can't just be like thanks and walk away with it.
I mean, look,
it's not regular pizza. Wood-fired pizza kind of goes like you have to eat it right away.
See, but the aspect that you're ignoring about all this is that I don't care, right?
Yeah. Carter, am I right or am I wrong here? You got to eat the whole thing.
I wouldn't say you have to eat the whole thing, but you all right. definitely
why
have
is
to.
Mic on? You definitely- why is his microphone on? It's to agree with me specifically.
You definitely do have to try it. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to take this home. Like, okay. You have to try a slice.
Carter, you take a bite or two and then it just sits there. It looks like you didn't like it.
Oh, it looks like you hated it. You have to have at least a full slice.
Nah, I think you got to go more. He said half, and he's not even the eater.
Oh, you said, oh, I thought you meant half a slice.
I said at most half. Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, if it's four slices, having two, yeah.
To placate to this chef that all of a sudden his ego was just all over the place that he would.
His ego's not all over. He handed me a gift. What is that ego?
He's like, he's going to sit there and watch and judge. You got
it. I picked the pepperoni like some Kobe. That's Steph, bro, from the logo.
I mean, but just,
by the way, that pepperoni 10 years ago it cost $14.
Just the
pound.
Fact that you
I
know,
can't even imagine what it costs.
Just
now.
The fact that you know the pepperoni is a little. Yeah. It's a little embarrassing.
It's,
a little, bro.
It's impressive, bro. What are you talking about? Embarrassing.
No pepperoni.
It's like the gold standard of pepperoni. No one uses this commercially. It's very expensive.
Didn't even know there was any gold, silver, bronze,
buddy. Buddy,
triple A rated.
Triple A. It's the Premier League of pepperoni. If there was, what you eat is pretty much like, you know, MLS Next Pro 2.
I eat healthier, high quality, but it's not necessarily,
buddy, you're not even allowed to eat pepperoni. Also, you're not a pepperoni fan, right? You're like, oh,
I like pepperoni, but whatever.
You're not a cured meats guy.
It's all a lot of salt. You know what it is. Anyway.
Christian's just not a food fan. What are we doing here? He's not a fan of food.
We just eat and we go home. We got other stuff to do.
Yeah, not what me. I was like, we did what we came to the city for. Now let's
go
home.
Jesus Christ. You guys, it's just calorie. Get them however you want to get them. Anyway, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alex Gross. We didn't turn the speaker on, but hopefully you can hear the sounds.
We'll get to it in a second. Carter, you can turn on.
Yeah, hit that button.
Anyway, hot show today because.
Oh, there is so much.
So much to go over.
Big guest.
We're joined by a very special guest. Our first guest from Austin FC, the one and only, number six, the midfielder for Austin FC, Danny Pereira, is joining us
so
in a little
fun.
Bit because when it comes to MLS players, I would argue NWSL is way ahead in this as far as like players showing their personality. Players dancing on TikTok.
I'm sorry, players with personalities.
Sure. Yeah.
NWSL, literally, you could.
There's
you
an can, abundance.
Buddy, you throw a rock, you're going to hit a player with personality. In MLS, the list is small.
Exactly. And Danny Pereira, basically, you know, I started following him on TikTok. I'm like, this is one. This there aren't enough players sort of like.
Having fun,
but also what is it? Jared McCain, the Philadelphia Union.
Is he big on TikTok?
Huge on TikTok. My man dances all day.
Okay.
Paints his fingernails.
Oh, yeah. Shows, I know you're talking
Philadelphia
about.
Philadelphia 76ers, not Union.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. But you know
that's
what I mean.
That's why I was confused. I'm like, what is he? Is he on the bench? the third goalkeeper. I know you're talking about. And like people make fun of him and he's like, I don't care.
Nah, he's like, yo, I'm going to be me.
And so, I love it.
Danny Pereira is kind of reminds me of that. So we're going to chat with him in a little bit. But first, MLS had a wild weekend.
Yes.
And we'll start with, are you liking the Sunday night soccer?
I don't mind it because it allows me to watch more than the game I'm at. Which Correct. Was my big complaint early on with this Apple TV deal.
We go to New York City FC games at 7:30.
And every other game every is other happening. Game at the is same
and then when you get home, you can catch some of the Western Conference games. So MLS wrap up.
You got to get home right away. What if you're partying with the boys?
Exactly. You know?
Hanging with the gang.
So, you know? So you miss out on a lot of matches. So that's why MLS wrap up becomes very important. But the Sunday night soccer, I'm liking just like, dedicate one game of just like, hey, everybody, watch this one.
It's like Monday Night Football.
Exactly. Inter Miami played against Atlanta United.
This is how you do Inter Miami. Let everybody watch the Inter Miami.
I mean, we know which ones are going to be on Sunday a little bit more than others.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
So Atlanta's hosting Inter Miami and a little rematch.
Yeah, this is a look back,
from
bro.
From the playoff, the three playoff games.
My shit, I don't know, wasn't there, but he told these boys, hey.
Oh, wait, two playoff games. They didn't play three, right? They what? Atlanta won.
They went to the third. Okay. Mascherano wasn't the coach back then, but he said, hey, we need to get these boys back for what they did to us, bro.
So
he heard.
It was a, first of all, just first, Messi's goal. I think it was Sleash that took a heavy touch. And Messi is high pressing.
Okay, this is the defensive midfielder.
Yes,
this guy had a rough one this whole play back and forth.
I think this something. I don't know if it's just these Atlanta Inter Miami or just like does. I think the teams that fare well against Miami are the ones that just maintain their composure. Yes, I know Busquets is here. I know Messi's here, but just
you
being
think
like
you got caught Messi watching.
I think
we've heard of ball watching. You think he got called Messi?
There
watching?
Was a little. I think there was just the nerves. I don't think that heavy touch happens if they're not playing against Inter Miami. That's
he
my
also
opinion.
Kind of just stands there for a lot of the back and forth. He sort of like looks around, and like, oh no, I need to get back in position.
There's like just some indecision, right?
Yeah.
But the idea of Messi high pressing, like, and chasing a ball down like N'Golo Kante.
I heard the announcer say Messi's tracking back, and I said, is he leaving the game? Because he usually stands offside.
You must be confusing him.
I'm like, wow. So all Latinos look the same to you, bro?
You must be confusing him for Yannick Bright.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Because I'm like, bro, ain't no chance, bro. He usually just stands offside and waits, even with the national team.
Sure. And that's the expectation of like everybody else does the work, especially the defensive work.
Because he's here for the golden moments when you're in there attacking third.
Exactly. Yeah. He's the only person that can do what he does.
Facts.
And the fact that he is, it was a smart play on him because Sleash is like taking touches. And I think it might have been Busquets or something. There were like two players that were like blocking the vision of Sleash. So he's dribbling and Messi's just like sort of hiding behind two players.
Right.
And then I don't know where runs, makes the challenge, gets the ball. And then that's where I'm like, how does Messi go from being this, you know, this bulldog of a defensive mid and then completely switches back onto Lionel Messi that
like
we know.
Like a ballerina.
Every single touch was flawless.
This is when he chips the keeper.
Yeah, but Williams, I think, slides.
The 1-2 is crazy because it almost looks like he's running in slow motion and there's just people trying to defend him, kind of crossing. It's wild to see in like real time because if you see the highlight in 120 frames per second, you're like, that's Messi being Messi, right? Mm-hmm. But when you watch him real time, you're like, why can't you stop him, bro? He's right there.
Yeah, I sort of felt this throughout the game, but it felt like Atlanta was showing a little too much respect and not out of like, oh, this should be throwing 2-foot challenges into Messi, But there was a...
I didn't see it that way. I saw it as like a... there was a tentativeness to get out of position because they were afraid of what would come next.
Maybe.
That's kind of how I felt it. They were like, we need to stay composed. We need... Not composed is the wrong word because you use that. Like, we need to stay like... This is it. We need to stay tight. We need to stay...
It was like, we can't mess up.
Yeah, it was like, we need to stay so many feet away from the other defender or else, oh, they're going to pull us apart. And in that, they still got pulled apart.
Yeah. At the very least, like, I love that this was, especially for this, like, Sunday night soccer thing, I love that it was just, like, an entertaining game. It was like, yeah, it was 1-1 for most of the game.
The atmosphere was not in any way, shape, or form pro Miami either. That was kind of fun.
No.
Atlanta showed up.
It was genuinely a fun game and getting to see, especially Emmanuel Latte, who scored the goal for Atlanta.
There was a moment where he could have scored a second goal. This would have been 2-2, but I can't remember. Is it Sapo? Is that his name?
No.
Sabo?
Dude gets in his way.
I'm like, what are you doing, dog?
Because you said his name wrong, now I forgot his name. But I know who you're talking about. The left winger on the team.
I'll look it up.
But that moment, you can when you see that, I think just the type of player he is, it's just like such a kind of, I don't know, like perfect signing of like, oh, this is why, this is the DP you get. He is physically like more gifted and faster than like pretty much anyone else on the pitch and influences and impacts the game better than the other players. Like, it's just like such a flawless signing. And in that moment when he like bumped into his teammate, it's like, okay, well, he gets paid a lot to do that. Let him do the thing he does.
What are you doing? What are you going to do? I remember there was a time where it was like the first time I played football, like American football in high school. I didn't want to do it, but they were like, hey, you're fat. You're going to be good.
Right.
Here's like four positions you could play. And I did not want to do this. The first thing they had me do was defensive linebacker, right? So I'm on the line. All of a sudden, everyone's pushing me. I'm like, why are we pushing each other? We're friends outside of this, right? And I remember someone yelled, pass. So I look up and I start running where the pass is going to be. And the coach said, what are you doing? I said, well, he yelled, pass.
Yeah.
Which is alerting me that a pass is coming. So I should run back. And he's like, and when you get there, what are you going to do? They're faster than you. That's not a space for you. Someone needs to say that to this guy. Like, bro, we pay you to be over here. What you doing over there? Like, that Latte Lab could have had an easy shot. And he's... playing exceptionally well.
Yeah. He does look great.
That's a signing where I was like a little unsure based on the level he came. I'm like, maybe they should be trying to get.
How much did they sign? It was a lot.
It was. I think he broke their record. I think it was their record signing. I was like, man, we should be signing younger guys from Latin America. You've done this before. It's worked to great effect. One of them just came back. Or you go get someone who's like Jovinko, like at a top flight team, but maybe not get minutes. Those are the two signings. And they went for someone in the championship at a high level, right? Because Latte Light came in the championship. And bro, I'm like, man, he looks good.
He looks fantastic. Yeah. And so and this is something with Atlanta United in general. It's just like they have the resources. They have an owner that wants to spend.
Right.
Even
they've been out of they've lost their way for a few years.
A little bit, yeah. So maybe Ronnie Dyla can get them back on track. But the star of the show, the homie, Fafa Pico.
We're trying to tell you.
Getting the game-winning goal. He's back after getting a hamstring injury, I believe, 8 minutes into the home opener, the first game for Inter Miami.
Scores his first goal for the team. Did you think it'd be a header?
It's
that's not the way I thought it would go from a boy.
It was. Well, I'm watching it, and I'm just like, I know Fafa has ups and he's a gifted athlete.
He's very athletic. Yes.
But we're looking at the photo of it. I mean, he is significantly shorter than both of us. Yeah. I mean,
he looks like he's standing 5 feet behind me in this picture.
Andrew Eby was talking to him after the game and we confirmed he's 5'8". But and Fafa
on paper.
It's like the Muggsy Bogues. Yeah. But Fafa, he's 5'8", and he asked him, like, did you think you would get your first goal be a header for this club? And he's like, he was actually like not even taking it was a little bit of a little shade of like, you're short.
Not really shade.
Not shade, yeah, but like, you're short.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, I play basketball. I grew up playing basketball. Like, this is, and he said, when I was younger, I had no problem dunking. We see how his height. He's not that tall.
Let's go.
And I'm like, all right, you dunking? I've dunked a basketball once, like in a game, once in my life. and then struggled every other time.
Really?
And I'm
6'1". I used to be able to touch that net, boy. I was, bro, my ups was crazy. So, I'm being dead ass. I used to touch the net. I know that's not that impressive to a lot of people. You got it. Go back to the photo of me and the net. That guy on the left. Oh, dude. The guy on the left, bro, used to touch the bottom of the net on an NBA rim. That's impressive as hell. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay. That's the equivalent of a dunk, I guess.
Right? Remember Escalade and N1, bro? That was my boy. I was like, bro, I feel you, bro.
So for him to get to, I mean, it's amazing that he got ahead of the ball because he's sort of backing away from it as well.
That's the thing. It's like he's what? He's over 30 now. He's 31?
Something like that, yeah. He's like, I think 32.
It dialed back to his early career, like early Philly days. He's kind of so athletic that he got up. He still managed to get pressure, like power on that ball, going backwards, and he cleared the defender. I mean, this is clearly impressive stuff.
Cleared the defender, and then you saw the Guzan doesn't – he pulls his hand in.
Yeah.
He's about to, like, try to save it, but he sees the center back there, and he's like, oh, he's going to clear it. And the center back is like, oh, no, Guzan got it.
My boy Guz got this, bro.
I honestly think if Guzan tried to save it, I think he probably would have missed. It was such perfect placement on the side netting, and it was going so slow. Just trickled.
It had that like perfect just touch to it.
You know, those Curry layups when he's like, you know, from the free throw line. Or
it
whatever.
Feels like in a cartoon where they're like doing that, and the ball's just very slowly on the. It's so frustrating.
But more than anything, I'm like, you know, I can speak for you as well. We're just happy for him. It's just Fafa is genuinely has genuinely become a friend of us and a friend of the show
based on his reaction. And the reaction of anyone who aren't one of the big names on Miami when they score, do you get the sense that when they score, and in this situation, I saw it in Fafa's eyes, where it was like, ooh, maybe Messi trusts me a little more. You know, don't you get that sense that like, oh?
I've earned his respect a little bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yo, your boy, not bad. I know I'm not one of the you guys, but hey, it's not bad.
And, you know, when we interviewed him, he kind of made that point about how he's excited about playing against Miami because these other players are going to get a lot of attention. And then I'm going to see my 5'8", be able to, like, you know, get a header. And
I'm going to have a lot of space, baby.
Yeah. Look, if he didn't get injured in that first game, I think we would have seen a lot of that. He came in late into this game.
It's nice to see him back, though.
But it's nice to see him back. Yeah, man. High expectations. I think he's going to do well. And it's Miami. Have won every game except the drew against NYCFC in that first game. Vancouver is actually the one leading in the Supporter Shield rankings. But this is a team that, weirdly enough, I think they're a little bit more chaotic than last season. And we've already sort of seen it, all the red cards.
Well, there's no rules this year. It's Mascherano. You know what I mean? Like, Tata had his own, like, way.
Some people are. I had seen from MLSsoccer.com, Charlie Boehm, the homie Charles Boehm, saying, like, he's arguing like this team is better than last season, which I think it's a little. I don't think so.
At first, it feels better constructed. Remember last year, there were so many questions going into the season.
Yeah,
and then some people stepped up. I think the names already, like, the median level is higher. Does that make sense?
Sure.
They got smart. It was like smarter MLS signings.
They brought in a lot. They brought in a lot of players. And it's just so, like, clear because they Tadio Allende. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he's from, but I'm just like, who is this guy? Where is this guy? And there must be.
They keep doing it.
But they're plucking out. Any from the Argentinian league, they could just be like, you want to play with Messi?
We're
gonna pay you $35, but you get to play with Messi.
And they're like, okay, rule, your boy. Yeah.
And it's remarkable that they're.
How you gonna tell your dad you said no to play with Messi if you're Argentinian?
Their first three games, they got three red cards.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just it's a ridiculous team.
Argentinian. I don't remember what you want me to tell you, man.
An exciting game. Let's move on to LA Galaxy against Portland.
Yeah,
because this was a 1-1 game, but two teams that are, they need some wins. They need to figure some stuff out.
Yeah, LA Galaxy's still winless.
Correct.
This is crazy.
And the main thing in this game, which it still feels. Some people in the comment section were like, why are you criticizing LA Galaxy? They have so many injuries and all this other stuff. But it's like, all right. But this should be a little bit better. Like,
they won MLS Cup. Worst start since MLS Cup.
They won MLS Cup, yeah. And it's like, yeah, they have a lot of. I don't think we're being that harsh.
No, I think we're being.
But you can't start a season like this. But Portland and LA Galaxy, there is I forget his name. I'll get the line.
We're watching the non penalty call here.
Yes, and this is one of the most egregious things.
It begs the question: how exactly does this not get called as a penalty?
So the
it's clearly over the line. The guy's boots end up on top of your foot.
This is what's his name? Zanka, I believe. So. Matthias Jorgensen. Jorgensen, that's what it is. Anyway, I don't know why is his name listed as Zanka on Pop Mob. Anyway, the goes in for a tackle, completely takes out the player inside the box. It is a foul. The ball, he gets no ball.
The ball's gone. The ball rolled past
the
everybody.
Game is still going on, happening a couple feet away. But ridiculous challenge inside the box. Ref says advantage.
The bottom of his cleats are on the shoelaces of the Portland player.
Correct.
So that's it. That's all I need to see.
That is a penalty. We all know what a penalty looks like.
Right? I thought I did. The last 2 years.
I thought I knew this game.
Yeah, bro. Y'all done changed them rules, bro.
So according to the referee, and I had seen a couple posts about it, Portland captain asked the referee, hey, why wasn't this called a penalty? Referee said, I played advantage and I let the game go on. And then the shot that came after this is essentially just a errant shot that goes wide. Ref is like, all right, play on, goal kick.
Yeah, you gave it a good shot there, boys.
Real fun, goal kick. And Phil Neville is just like, what?
Yeah.
What is going on?
No, you got to go back.
So, I mean, to me, there's no real question here, and there's no debate on, I understand playing advantage. And usually, you would play advantage
if a goal's not scored,
you blow the whistle. Yeah, you
go yellow or red and point to the spot.
And you point to the spot. So,
because that is a card, I could understand it being both a yellow or a red. Probably not a red. Yeah, red feels red. Harsh.
Yellow.
But that's for
the ball.
For sure a yellow card.
A yellow card.
And that's for sure a penalty.
And then even maybe you don't want the double jeopardy. So maybe just the penalty without the.
Could say to yourself, yeah, I'll just take the pen here. Just give him a pen.
Pose it to everybody. Is this even like a thing? As far as I understand the rules, yes. What is the advantage? You gave the advantage.
Because they were already attacking.
They're attacking.
So as the ball gets away from the player who eventually gets fouled, even though it wasn't called, it does go to it falls right to the foot of another Portland player who takes that errant shot, if I'm not mistaken. Right?
He
passes it again. So I could see it being like, wait a minute, he might score, and then none of this is. And maybe you come back and say, yeah, that was yellow, by the way. But I could see take the advantage because we're already in the middle of a shot.
Exactly. I don't want to stop the game.
Yeah.
You know,
a shot's literally about to happen.
People are watching on TV.
My mom can see me. I don't want to stop. But, bro, if that goes, and it did, into the stands, then you turn and you go, hey, bro.
Hey, yeah.
Go to the spot.
Remember what happened back then?
Yeah. I'm not a goldfish. I remember.
So, honestly, we got to get like Christina Uncle on the phone or something. Mm. But this to me is a referee that does not know the rules. I mean, it's like an egregious error of just like, oh, the ref does not understand the rules of this game.
Because
this is not like opinion. This is not an opinion.
This is the rule. Yes,
I understand. You play advantage. But if there is no advantage gained, which the advantage gained would be a goal
scored. This didn't happen in the middle of the pitch.
No.
This happened in the box.
Correct.
So the advantage is just, go ahead, take that shot real quick. Uh-huh. Oh, it didn't go in? All right, let me go back to this guy over here and tell him blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't understand how we get to the point where there's so many people in this dude's ear, one of the sideline judges, the fourth official, the dude's up at VAR, whoever, someone can be like, hey, bro, yo, I think you might have forgot something here.
Yeah, I mean, and so apparently VAR couldn't get involved because the ref played advantage.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm not saying VAR needs to get involved, but can VAR not just go, sure about that? That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling VAR to say just, the rule is blank. Just be like,
in that tone, in that accent.
You sure about that? That's it, real quick. Sure about that?
Get a little. You sure about that button?
Yeah. Someone needs to be like, hey yo, real quick. Like, you know how like in a wedding, a best man is there to make sure the groom gets there. Someone has the ring. You know what I mean? Like, we need like a hype man. Like, we need a best man for the ref.
Yeah, this is something.
Also, sideline judges don't even really call offside anymore, right? They wait until. Yeah, it's all verified by. My guy's just there to say, yo, white shirts, blue shirts. That's our whole job. Right now, your job is to be like, hey, man, I think we forgot a rule here.
Hey, you sure about that?
Sure about that? You now have the sure about that.
Yeah,
job.
Yeah. We need to include that in the IFAB, just like rules and just like.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just asking, you sure about that? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is crazy. We still learn things about refereeing as things go on. Mm-hmm. And I did not know that VAR could not get involved if the ref plays advantage. What if it's a boot to the face and the ref is like, oh, advantage. Oh, we can't give a red there.
My hands are tied here, folks. This is what I'm saying. I don't understand having VAR and then putting all these stupid roadblocks up to stop them from being involved. Are you here? You're a video assistant referee. Are you here to assist the referee? Or are you here to sit back and go, hey, man, only when they hit that button am I allowed to get involved?
Yeah, this is incredible. And I hope this is something that is, like, addressed. And more than anything, this, honestly, like, some of the comments are like, MLS refs is trash. I would argue this is a Premier League error. This is a refereeing Premier League error. MLS refs, for the most part.
Talk to me about this, because I don't know how you bring in Premier League into this.
Because how many ridiculous issues the Spurs-Liverpool game.
Oh, you're saying this happens in the Premier League
as well?
Yeah,
it happens all the time. Like,
I thought you were bringing the Premier League for this specific.
No. Like,
how they do this?
Premier League refs make this mistake.
Oh, 100%.
MLS refs do not.
Please, what do these people know? These people know.
That's why it's so shocking to me.
Sitting in their mother's basements, typing on the internet.
Hey, Brent, it's kind of expensive nowadays. Guy, I don't know.
You got room down there, bro? Actually, yeah. Now that I'm talking, it's two of us, me and my wife, a couple pepperoni slices.
So another game we got to talk about in MLS is NYCFC and a big win against the New England Revolution.
Is it a big win?
having
a rough start.
The Revolution have not scored a goal this season. They still have. Even the goal, the score was 2-1.
Yeah,
they still have not scored.
We scored it for them. We said, here you go, bro.
Tiago Martin's got.
Lend your boy $5, just wave it around at the club, just so people think you got money. Bro, I got you.
So the the highlight of the game, some people would say, is the Alonso Martinez like bicycle scissor kick,
right.
Side foot, like,
scissor kick was beautiful.
Beautiful,
but I think people are focusing on the wrong part of that goal.
I agree.
They're focusing on the pageantry of it, the athleticism of it, the expression of, you know, footballing, you know, heights of mm-hmm. it. I say, you're not looking at the small details. What about just behind that?
Because there's a, we were on the, we happened to be on the sideline.
We were pitch side.
We were pitch side watching the game.
Along with some of our friends. Joey Dardano,
Martin Urbano.
Steven Castillo.
A couple.
Eli was there.
Yeah. So met them for the first time. But some people may not, they'll be honestly focusing on the wrong thing.
This is my problem with people who watch football. They focus on the players on the pitch. Have you ever looked beyond that?
Because if we're looking at the footage of Alonso Martinez and his fantastic goal. But if we zoom in, Carter, can you pull up the photo?
Enhance.
If you look between,
look to the left.
If you look to the left and you look between the referees,
we're
like,
not making the referee.
we are in the under the crotch of the sideline ref. You see two gentlemen, past number 14,
blue puffer. That's your boy.
Yeah, and pink sleeves with the blue vest. That's your boy.
Uh huh. And it looks like we're about to make out. In this photo. It looks like we're about to embrace. And we've stopped paying attention to the game.
But it was such a fantastic goal that I'm like, I should kiss Alexis, right?
I've never said no. But there's, you can kind of see just over the knee, the guy celebrating in front of the New York City FC sign. There's a family there. They got prime real estate. They sat all the way at the end. They got prime real estate for the goal celebration. And we were just like, hey, we're over here, boys. Remember us? You know?
It was. I've been on the pitch side seats a couple. You have not.
This is my first experience to watch like a goal happen pitch side seats.
Okay. Yeah. And it is.
It was thrilling.
It's an interesting experience because you're so close to the players. And it's much closer than I would argue almost in any other stadium. This arrangement, it's like
right,
you're right there. We could grab the ball that the ball kid is throwing.
It's literally in front of me.
It's literally right in front of you. And
Joe Giordano is known for doing stupid things. Yeah. And I thought he was going to grab it. I'm like, please don't get us in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult thing to defend his banning of every
game. I'm going to have to help like tackle you if you do that.
But when I thought the funniest thing was when Julian Fernandez gets subbed out.
He scores with his right foot.
He scores with his right foot.
This kid doesn't even walk with his right foot. This kid does nothing with his right foot.
My man skips. He walked on one leg.
He got that one.
But he has a lethal left foot. We know that.
He's well known for his left foot. Scores with his right foot. I think only because the pass was so perfectly placed on his right foot. He couldn't be like, oh, I'd have to take an extra touch to do it. So he scores. So he comes off the pitch. He walks in front of us.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I show him I'm proud of him? But also, let's bring up the fact that, hey, you. So I said, con la derecha.
Yeah, yeah.
And he smiled. He kind of laughed.
Did, it was like a little smirk. Like, I'm happy, but like, I hate that you noticed.
Yeah. He was like, damn, these guys pay attention. And I said, con la derecha, papa.
Yes, con la derecha means with your right.
With your right, with the right one. Let's go, dude.
So, no, it was a great experience.
Steve Castillo, who's one of the SNL writers, was sitting next to me. He kind of laughed and he was like, what was that about? And I was like, oh, that was me. He never does anything with his right foot. He finally scored with his right foot. He was like, oh. And he was like, oh, my God. How do you know this?
Bro,
but it was cool. It was a cool moment where he was like, my God.
We locked in, bro.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's stay tapped. Before we get to our conversation with Danny, a couple NWSL kicked off this weekend.
Can we talk about
weekend.
Barcelona's, bro?
And Melanie Barcenas is we spoke. So we spoke when she signed with San Diego.
There were a lot of Karens.
What age did she sign?
15.
15, right? I believe.
So many Karens were like, "The little girl be a girl. Why be a pro?"
It was maybe
nobody's talking to you.
I don't know if Brooke is comfortable answering. Maybe giving.
Who's Brooke?
Brooke
Christian.
Brooke Miller. She's here. She's a student at Northwestern, right? Uh-huh. Northwestern. And and you play on the team as well.
Center back.
And she is in New York to get a lay of the land of like the media landscape.
Right. She's learning what not to do on podcasts. So she came here.
So she's learning everything.
Right.
But when thank you for hanging out with us for a little bit. Hopefully we can teach you anything. I doubt we will. But when the conversations about young female players and becoming pro, it seems to be a contentious issue in the comment section. How do you feel about it?
I think if that's what the girl wants to do, then you gotta let the girl do what she wants to do. And it seems like she just wants to go and play pro, which is so cool. Nobody really gets to do it that young of an age. I feel like if that's what she wants to do, she should be able to do it. And people shouldn't judge. I feel like the parents are doing the right thing by being like,
no. I support
only
it.
Fair.
Maybe
only
I'm fair. Biased because I would be like, yeah, let me give my right foot and my left foot and then still figure out how to play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Go on the field to play a pro at 15.
I think
if you got the skills, you're ready to go.
Exactly. And again, we don't hold, we don't maintain the same standard when we talk about boys.
No one says this about the fellas.
Who have played at 15, 16 years old. It is whatever. But this is, I think, the future of the game where if this is what an equitable space looks like, then you're going to have wonder kids that happen to be girls.
Yeah.
So, but Melanie Barcenas in the game against Angel City and San Diego Wave and Angel City are, you know, becoming like this.
A little bit of a Southern California Clásico.
Right, right. And then what was the Chan Clásico is what they, some people call it. Some people, I've heard some people don't like that name. I don't know why.
Some people don't want to bring up the fact that parents hit their kids.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why. It's such a part of our culture. My mom will hate you if you suggest that, by the way, with a chocolate.
I mean, it's a it's so fitting and perfect. But yes, we see the sandal and it triggers a little bit of trauma. Anyway. Yeah. So
also for San Diego, they probably don't have that. That's like a day. That's how they walk around in the winter.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, but Melanie Barcenas in this game, and we saw it last season. And as a young,
we've seen it in glimpses. Now this is the thing about being a 15-year-old. You don't flex.
She's 16 now.
She's now 17, I think.
Okay.
You don't flex too heavy, right? Because you're like, well, I've done some of this stuff in training, but these are pros.
Exactly.
I feel like,
and also I don't want coach to get mad at me.
Yeah, that's gone. She got that out of her system because what we see here is she gets the ball past her and immediately two defenders. She's being doubled. Yeah. A 17-year-old and. There's not an ounce of pressure in her mind. She does something that you just typically don't see 17-year-olds, especially not in the NWSL, right? Because there's not that many young players in the NWSL yet. Just be like, oh, I'm going to take one of the best defenders in the league and absolutely cook them.
Right. And what I love here is this, the showing the ball. Oh, and you see?
You want this? Nope.
But I love the because it moves the defender. Who is 10 there? I forget her name. But it moves the defenders and gives just enough space. So then Sarah Gordon is like, oh, I'm going to press in because she's coming towards me. And then viciously nutmeg Sarah Gordon. Sarah Gordon is, I believe, I don't know if she still is, but at one point, she was the fastest player in NWSL, a spectacular defender.
Spectacular defender.
A player that people would also, I don't know if Sarah Gordon has ever gotten any call-ups for the national team.
I think she has, but I don't think like consistently.
It's definitely, but a player that's like, oh, you know, she had an ACL injury, right. 2 years ago? But a player that like, those players like on the bubble, like just never
she
gets
was
that
also
opportunity.
Like marquee, like they were like, oh, they're... you know, Angel City's taking defense seriously because they're bringing in Sarah Gordon.
And
this was
Melanie Barcenas just to do this to like veteran defenders is pretty remarkable, and it says a lot about the confidence she has at this age. But again, we were seeing it like in little glimpses in the past two seasons, and now
she just reminds me of like a, you know, when a boxer like throws a jab to see what you're gonna do.
Right.
I wonder how they defend this. Are they gonna get down to throw a hook or whatever?
Sure.
She just kind of showed the ball and came back. It was like such an easy way of being like, what would you do if I did this? Oh, that? All right, I know what to do here.
Yeah.
It was so like chill. It was a, I'm gonna get cooked for this. Mm. But something about it in live felt Neymar-esque. Remember when Neymar was at Santos?
yeah,
and he would get the ball passed to
him? He's there right now.
Well, okay, but remember the early time? Actually, he's kind of doing it again.
Yeah.
But remember early in his career, he would get the ball and he'd be like, let me see what you do because I kind of know what I can do.
Right.
But I want to know what I can do to you right now.
Yeah.
That felt like that. It was like, oh, that's how you react to that? Watch this. And then she's kind of essentially taking two defenders out of the game. Almost three because the third one comes up. That's really impressive.
Yeah, I want to see more of this. I mean,
flex on them.
The Wave last season did not have a good run by any means. But this is – I want to see this just in the league as a whole.
Flair.
More of this from players. You know, we see it with like – we got the trend spin.
Uh-huh.
But – I don't know what Melanie's thing name like her special move, her super
real
move.
Quick, Brooke, you're a center back, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody does this to you, what you doing after?
I honestly don't even know how I'd react in front of this many fans.
Yeah, you gotta get them back, right?
Yeah, you gotta give a little like, all right, that was my bad, and then you gotta swallow like any ounce of embarrassment that you're showing as much as possible, because right. I would immediately start sweating. Like, I see the fans. Like, I'm
throwing elbows
the fans.
Next time she comes close?
No, because I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to be like, all right, like, here I go. Like, watch this. I'm gonna be like, okay, we're going to forget that happens.
Yeah. Oh, so you're not even trying to agitate them.
No. I'm all saying, right. Okay, she's going to do that against two of us.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. She's like, all right, we need four of y'all.
Yeah, we're going to need to figure it out.
Just like, at least it wasn't just me, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what were you doing the whole time? You were doing nothing. Somebody,
a couple of notable results. The Pride completely demolished the Chicago Stars, which feels like, The Stars don't even look like they have like a complete roster just
it does,
yet. They
it, look it almost a little looks lost. Like they pulled people in from the stands. And like that was rough.
They're dealing with injuries. Mal Swanson is not playing with the team right now. She has an excused absence, which is another interesting subject that I think we can get to more later.
I feel like we need more information. No one knows exactly why she got like.
We don't know, but I think it's.
She got injured or something. She got sick.
I don't know. There's.
A while back ago, there was something.
Well,
happened.
She had an injury, and then she had an infection when she was recovering from the knee surgery.
Right.
She had a really bad injury in one of the friendlies against Ireland right before the World Cup. But I think this is like an interesting subject because I think this happens with the NWSL a lot. Where you look at the availability report and it's like out knee or whatever, and then some of them will just be
excuse
absence. This happened with Crystal Dunn last season.
Doctor's note,
doctor's
you know, like a gym class.
And I think there's I don't know exactly how to describe, but there's like a grace given to end up in, and I mainly have seen this in NWSL.
Superstars.
I don't know if this is in women's sports as a whole. But that's what I'm sort of seeing, where there's like more grace given, where they say like Crystal Dunn excuse absence, okay, all right, fine. It seems like a different standard. I
also think it's like the league needs some of those names maybe more than the names need the league. Is that fair?
I would agree with
I
that.
I feel like they have the leverage.
I just think the reason for them missing games is. And again, I'm not saying that this is like wrong or right or whatever.
You want them to share more of what the reasoning is?
I just think I'm not used to it.
Gotcha.
In men's sports, if a player is not available, there's TMZ is outside their home. Like, why aren't they playing?
But also, they lie.
Of course.
You find out later, they're like, oh, he had a knock in training. And he was like, no, my wife was giving birth and that's why I went. You find that out when they retire.
Sure, sure.
You know, they'll tell stories like, all right, so the coach said I was this, but I just because I
maybe that's what
drunk.
I'm asking for. I want to be lying. Lie to me,
bro.
Lie to me.
Yeah.
Excuse absence.
I don't want to know if you playing me. Keep it on the low.
You know, like excuse absence makes me start thinking about what it is. And
you
I don't want
you go to the most.
I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, again, Mallory Swanson is excused from the Chicago Star. I don't know why. It could be something very serious. I would say lie. And just be like, oh, she broke her toe.
Yeah, or picked up a knock or a knee injury. Re-aggravated an injury.
And then boom, nobody's asking any more questions.
Yeah. Right? So, but then someone gets a video of her walking normal in the mall or something.
Right. So I think it's an interesting topic. There were a lot of 1-1 draws, and then the other Kansas City Current beat the Portland Thorns. So we had Lola Bonta and Dana Castellanos on the show on the same week, and they played each other.
Right.
And Lola Bonta ended up winning that.
Sellies. She brought back another Selly.
Well, she didn't score, but she was celebrating with
somebody,
teammates. Yeah. But she had said.
She said she's trying to get her teammates to think about their celebrations
and
a little more.
So there was a lot. There were fun ones.
Beautiful.
Okay. All right. Let's get to our conversation with Danny Pereira, Austin FC midfielder. A great dude. I'm glad he took the time. But yeah, I know.
You're going to love him as much as we do.
Exactly. Yeah. So here it is. That conversation with Danny Pereira.
Christian, the Stars just keep rolling in.
For real, bro. This is, I believe this is our first Austin FC player. Bro. This is probably long overdue.
Took too long. They've been in the league, 5 years now? It's crazy.
Something like that. No, not five. Was it five? Oh, I think five. Or at least four. I was at the inaugural game.
You were at the launch.
In Austin. And I didn't get to see a goal. That was my experience.
Because you were eating tacos?
No.
Breakfast tacos?
It was a nil-nil game, the inaugural game. But, there's obviously a lot of players that have a few players have gone from like NYCFC. Alex Ring had played. Right. So we have an affinity for Austin. And I felt incredibly welcome when I was there. So I want to just show that same exact welcome to our next guest, the defensive midfielder for Austin FC. And one of my, as far as MLS players, TikTok accounts, one of my favorites. Everybody, give it up for Danny Pereira. Danny, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
No doubt, bro.
Bro, it's an honor to have you on the show, dude.
Yeah, man. I want to just say that that's when the staff at Austin reached out about, oh, what player do you want to have on? I was like, Danny Pereira. Danny Pereira, is he available?
Yeah.
mainly because you...
I feel like this whole interview should be vertical video.
I know, right? This interview should be Danny Pereira dancing. But no, you... I want to start there because there, when it comes to athletes being more comfortable expressing themselves online on TikTok, there's, you know, we've seen it in different sports and different leagues and stuff like that, but there aren't really many MLS players specifically that are like, yo, I'm gonna be me, I'm gonna have a little fun,
I'm gonna show you who I am,
I'm gonna do a couple TikTok filters and play some of the games, I'm gonna dance a little bit, and you are one of those that does that. What is there, what makes you continue to do that, and then also how much quote unquote negativity do you get from it from your teammates or whatever?
Yeah, you get roasted in the locker room.
How much
though?
You gotta deal with it?
Nah, dude, I don't get roasted at all. Mostly the stuff I do is just like filters and stuff. I don't really take it that deep. I just be bored. I see it and then I do it. I don't care about views, likes, or all that stuff. But I carry it from college. In college, I did do a lot of dumb stuff on TikTok that I had to delete. But then I got to the pros, and then my rookie year, I was low-key kind of into it. But then I was like, okay, this is not. I got to separate it. So.
Okay.
Nice. I mean, look, what is it about players? Like, this was a real surprise to us. When we started the show, we never played pro. So we didn't get it. I remember the first player we spoke to was like, yeah, we train for like 4 hours a day and then we have the rest of the day to ourselves. And I'm like, bro, you ain't posting enough if you got all day to yourself. Why do you think you express yourself so much more than other players?
I don't know. I think it's a personality thing. Where I come from, probably like family stuff, you know, like I also been living alone for a while or lived alone for a while. I don't know. I feel like different circumstances in life made me the way I am, I guess. And I'm just an open guy.
Yeah.
Like people here will tell you I'm always messing around and, you know, always just joking around and being happy. So
that's the sensibility of a comedian, right? Just share it all.
Oh, sure. I mean, because we don't want to live in our own brains.
Right. There's too much
nonsense going on. Yeah. But you say you live alone, but I've been seeing videos of you with your cat.
Your roommate.
Are they paying rent too? Or
he ain't paying nothing. He's running me down. That's what he's doing. That's my boy.
Is this what's the cat's name?
Mikey.
Mikey. Okay. Where'd the name come from? Is it mean anything or
Jordan?
Mike Towers from is a singer. Mike Towers.
Yeah, Mike Towers, of course. Yeah. Let's go. All right, un reggaetonero.
Okay. I was gonna ask who's the best reggaetonero from Venezuela.
Neutro, Cancerbero, but he's dead. He was so good.
damn, yeah, that casual. Well,
damn, man. rest in peace to my guy. Bro.
All right, yo,
not too soon, my G. That's crazy. Yeah, he's dead, but he was good when he was alive. You should have seen it.
Okay. What did you
a couple of live ones, so
all right, good. Are there did you have pets growing up, or is this your first pet?
Nah, I had a turtle.
Yeah.
I had two hamsters that ate each other. I swear to God.
How you do that?
I'm not even kidding. I had a parrot. And then that's it. I think I had a dog for a week.
See, okay, but this is
usually when you ask people, did you have pets growing up? You don't get such a long list.
Especially for Latino family. Well, the dog, I understand, because the dog is just like the dog walked up to your house and now it's your dog for a week. And then you just let him back out. So yeah. I get that, because in Dominican Republic, that's how it is. Nobody goes.
There are neighborhood dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they might just, you know, they're your roommate for a month and then they go out and live their life.
Yeah.
But you was this all in Venezuela? Did you have a parrot and all this other stuff,
or was that here?
Yeah, I had a turtle, a parrot, and the hamsters in Venezuela, and the fish, but that don't count.
That's incredible.
And fish,
because I asked my mom and my dad for like just to get a dog or something. They're like, not even. Yeah. Well, it wasn't even like a second conversation. There was just no chance that we were gonna get a pet.
Yeah, my mother was like, "What are you? You run a zoo or a dog?"
Ace Ventura, pet detective.
What you obviously you made the switch when you moved here. You started playing soccer in, I believe, high school, right? In high school in Venezuela, in Virginia. How different of a shift was that?
Nah, it was too different. At the point that I didn't want to be there anymore, like the first like 2 months, it was just like, mom, dad, I want to go back. Like, I can't do this. I didn't speak English. Like, it was just different.
I thought you were going to say like, yo, my teammates is trash. Like, I can't be here, bro.
I'll pass these dudes. They pick it up and they shoot it into a basket. I was like, what are y'all doing, bro?
I mean, it wasn't the best either, but that wasn't the main thing. So,
yeah, it's tough. Yeah, the food is very different too.
Oh,
I'm sure at home you were eating fine.
Yeah, at home, always my parents were cooking, so it was chill. Yeah.
I tried to explain it to my wife. My wife grew up here, but I was like, you know, my grandmother didn't understand American food. Like, if we would bring home pizza or McDonald's, she'd be like, espérate, let me get the arroz.
Yeah, food at home.
It'd be a Big Mac, fries, rice, and beans. My grandmother's like, that's a meal. You got to have rice and beans.
Are you gonna have your chicken nuggets?
Yeah, you can't nuts with no rice and beans. You crazy? These kids in America are nuts.
I mean, so
the only person putting plátanos in a Big Mac was this guy.
No, but there clearly is. It was the culture shock. Like the was the bigger challenge, like just adjusting and obviously not knowing the language. Was it that? And what was the real difference in like the actual play that you noticed? Because obviously. Us growing up here, and we talk about American soccer all the time, and even some people think like college soccer shouldn't exist, right? That it should be like they do in every other country. But what was your impression, and then going through it? I mean, growing up in a youth system in Venezuela to college here, did what were the positives that came out of and of that path of going to college and then obviously becoming a pro in Major League Soccer?
Nah, I mean, obviously Venezuela and the U.S. is different, very different. But I think one good thing about me and my personality and like one of my strengths is that I can adapt to whatever it's on my way. And I think that's what I did. I adapted to the life in Virginia, having to do new friends, new everything. And then as I was going in high school, I learned that college was the best path for me at that time. And it was. At the time, I could do school and soccer at the same time, and that's what opened up the doors for me to become what I am today. So, you know, it was a win-win regardless. So,
right. Nice. And when you get picked by Austin, I mean, that must have been a huge moment, you know? How'd the family react to you going pro? Because I know...
And I just want to add to that, and please answer this, because I had watched the video on your TikTok of the announcement of when you got picked first. And there's a child in the video crying beyond belief, and not crying happy, crying like, why is everybody screaming?
Yeah. Why are we having a good time here?
Just a terrified child. Who is that kid?
It's my little cousin.
Okay.
Yeah,
he gets a slightly smaller gift.
Everybody's so happy. And this one kid is just like, stop screaming, everybody.
Well, that's why I brought it up. Like, I know how my mom reacted when I got into college. Never mind. You know? I remember how my mom reacted when the judge was like, no, you good. Like, you going pro must have been such a huge moment. Talk about that, for how that felt for the family.
Yeah, no, amazing. I felt like just everything paid off, you know, when they announced my name. All the sacrifices from my parents, from me. that we at that moment we knew we've done something good, and there was many things, good things coming along. So I'm just very excited, very happy, very proud of everyone.
How did you have to explain to some of the family of like, yeah, I'm a pro,
but
I can't buy everybody a house.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, you can't take it easy.
I play Major League Soccer. Yeah. I'm a rookie. It's not exactly
esto
what
no
you...
lotería.
No, I mean, it's different. You know, sometimes I feel like my family look at me differently. Or like they like praise me more than they should just because I'm a pro athlete. And like I play for the national team and stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm the same dumb kid that makes TikToks, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of cousins coming out of the closet all of a sudden. You know, I ain't seen you on that family tree at all, my guy.
But I mean, such a achievement, you know, just very proud. A bunch of my family, my little cousins look up to me. Bunch of my families, like friends, kids look up to me. So it's just very nice.
No, it's great awesome. To see. I love the humility as well. I mean, we recently just spoke to Dana Castellanos of the women's national team as well. And and she kind of spoke about the same thing of just what it means to see, especially when kids see
inspiring the next generation,
other Venezuelan kids see those Venezuelan pros and stuff like that. That is an interesting part of just like that inspiration. It, you know, she was talking about it as well, but the fact that like I see the way you speak, and there is a like I mentioned earlier, like there's a humility to you. And I had seen an interview that you did with We Are Austin TV. So shout out to those guys as well. And you end up I watched the whole thing. It's like an hour. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, Danny is like the one of the chillest dudes I have ever seen. and the one thing that stood out to me was you had mentioned about training, and you said that you don't enjoy training by yourself. Like you want to be a part of a squad. You want to be training with other people. Is why is that? What is it about? Is it like certain like exercises, like weightlifting that you don't like doing?
Or is it just boring?
Or you don't want like kicking a ball off a wall? Or what specifically about that?
A mix of both. Like, me being by myself, like I can't even think of me going to the gym and just doing my own lift. Like that sounds crazy to me. and then like with the ball stuff, like I feel like it has to come from like a standard point. Like if you do it with a couple people, you see where the standard is. So you gotta try to raise it up a little bit, you know. It kind of gives you like a where to start when you train, you know.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. I hate the off season, like. I love the off season, but I hate it when it comes to like training and stuff, because I just can't wait to be back for the season, train with everyone with an actual like routine and plan and stuff. So
we talk to footballers all the time, and sometimes they'll have like an off season like meal plan that they have to like the nutritionist keeps them on. I'm like, Brian, nobody watching. You know what I mean? Just do a couple crunches the week before. Like you in good shape already. He's like, no, we sticking to it. Talk to me about this season. Obviously, look, you know, it's a little bit of a rough start. You start with a win, but you have two losses. Obviously, new coach. What are the vibes like down in the locker room? What are the vibes like amongst you guys and the other players?
No, vibes are still high, man. I think we're all coming into this game, into the season, we were all very excited about everything. Like, new coaching staff, new, obviously, Roto got to do a bunch of signings, new players. Just new ideas all around, so that's why we were all excited. We still are, even though we lost the last two games. I think we've played extremely good. We just haven't rewarded ourselves with goals, and that's the only thing we're missing, obviously. But you know, the season's long. You win 2-3 games in this league, and it bumps you up in the standings. So we're ready for what's coming. We're excited.
Can you talk? So my experience from going to the first game was, and I got to hang out with the supporters at like, I forgot the place, but it was like a brewery, and they all like
You can this season, the first game?
The first game of the in the first season
ever.
Yeah, yeah, but ever, but and I know ever. they still hang out at this like brewery, like where all the, where they drum and stuff like that. I forgot the name of the place. Apologies, but the one thing that I took away from hanging out with the Austin FC supporters, which and shout out to them because it was my first time in Austin, and people were like, "Hey, Cooligans, Christian," like they knew who I was, and I'm like, I can't believe. Y'all didn't even have a team, and you already knew who I was. It was like it meant a lot. So it says a lot about the supporter culture in Austin. And one of my favorite things about it is the how Latino it is. Right, it is
super Latino,
and then the Mexican influence and the chants, the songs. One of my favorite, and when I was first there, they have a chant that is similar to the Selena song, El Chico del Apartamento 512. Yeah. And I was, and there's something, I don't know what it is. I'm just like, man, I wish we had this in New York. Like, this is just a dope aspect.
We got to make a Bad Bunny chant.
We got to do something.
So, Mike Towers.
Mike Towers chant. There you go.
So how do you feel about that, to have supporters, especially in Texas, where you don't necessarily think, you know, a soccer team in Texas is going to sort of, you know, who knows what it'll represent, like the white culture there or the Mexican culture or the different Latino heritage. Like, how do you feel about just having that kind of supporters group? Because it's a very unique one in Major League Soccer.
No, I mean, I think we have the supporters that we have because we're the only pro team in Austin. I heard from before they always wanted a soccer team as well. Obviously, we have San Antonio, which is basketball, like the Spurs, but that's not in Austin, you know. So I think us being the only pro team in the city, that's why we get so much support. Even from people that don't even know what's going on at the game, they just go because it's a great vibe, a great atmosphere, and for the people that do know what's going on, they're just so invested, so like railed in with everything, and you know, we appreciate them. We try to show them love, doing events and, you know, showing up after the game, saying hi. We try to win for them, and they're just as big as us. So they're a big part of this. So
no, that's awesome. And you know, I know he's technically not a supporter, he's an owner, but he hangs out with the supporters a lot. Have you gotten a chance to meet Matthew McConaughey? What's that like?
Yeah, no, he's a character, man. He's funny. I haven't really gotten to have a full-on conversation with him because when he comes, he has to, like, do all this video stuff, talk to everyone. So, but he's great, you know. Obviously, he's a great person, like, actor. But, you know, he's chill, great supporter.
Yeah, man, he'll jump in and start drumming and chanting.
At the first game, he was like on the pitch by himself screaming, Listos, Verde, with the. Yeah. I'm just like, what the hell? This is such an American thing. I'm
soccer,
like,
American
why is
the
Matthew
best.
McConaughey yeah. here doing this? And it's just so, we're just so not used to it. But that's one of my favorite things about Austin FC. The supporter culture there is fantastic. As far as your play, what are things that how do you challenge yourself year in and year out? I mean, I think, you know, when I think of defensive midfielders, it's not always about, you know, goals or assists.
It's not really about goals or assists.
It's not really about the numbers themselves. So when you think of like, oh, this is how I'm going to improve my season, is it like I'm going to get one good tackle on Messi? Is it going to be like what's the barometer for Danny Pereira?
Nah, I mean, this year I kind of switched up from being a 6 to an 8, so I'm like playing both still. But I mean, just try to honestly just want to win, man. Whatever it takes. It's not about me. I think it's about the team. Obviously, we haven't made it to playoffs the past two seasons, and that's what we want to do this year. No matter if I have to play bad, but that means going to playoffs and making it, winning the MLS Cup, I'll play bad, you know.
What are those off seasons like when you miss the playoffs? What is going through your mind?
It's tough. You get such a long break. This past break, it was like almost 3 months, like doing nothing. So like it's just you got to train. You should go on vacation, just clear your head off for like 2 weeks. Then start working out again. Maybe take a break if you want, but I hate taking breaks. Like it's just like, you lose the fitness, you lose the focus, and getting back into it's kind of tough. But you know, the new opportunity this year, new goals, and I think we got the team to do it. So,
well, you just mentioned obviously not making the playoffs tough. What do you do during the playoffs? Do you watch them? And if you do, who do you root for?
Do you just boo everybody? Just boo.
You don't watch it at all?
I don't watch it. I disconnect completely from it.
Okay. Yeah, it must make you angry, right?
Yeah, I just see the scores, obviously. Maybe I watch the final, but I don't really. I give up for the season.
So if you got a homie on the team, you send a congratulatory text. You're like, whatever, I'll see you in person.
Literally, pretty much.
All right. Yeah. Another player I do want to ask you about is because he's obviously very dear to us as well. He played in at New York City FC for a long time. Your goalkeeper, Brad Stuber. For a long time, he was always obviously the backup goalkeeper in New York City. And but even as the backup, a beloved player.
Everybody loves this guy.
And not only just for what he did on the pitch, what he did off the field as well.
His wife is amazing as well.
Yeah. And I had seen I don't know, was it 2 years ago? There was like the Austin, like a charity award, like the player that did the most for charity. And you won it over Brad Stuber 1 year. And Stuber is like competing for the like the MLS, like, you know, like charity guy of the year. And and you have made a little joke about like I won it over Brad. But can you talk about that, those contributions to the Austin community? And even that can get a little bit competitive of who is the most charitable at Austin?
Nah, I mean, when that year I did do a bunch of so many like little events, just going with like a 4ATX foundation.
Yeah.
Just going to high schools and playing soccer with kids, giving them a talk, going to schools, not even to do anything about soccer, just talk about school. Just a bunch of events, you know, go to our partnerships and sign for people that come. And it wasn't one of my goals. I just won it because I did it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also heard Brad has done his, he's won it like the past years. And I don't know, it was something cool to win. And obviously, it says a lot about the players in Austin that try to give out to the community as well. So,
you know, what's interesting is like,
you got to do more.
Yeah, it just feels like Danny hates being alone so much that he'd rather just be a good person. Yeah. You know what I mean? He'd rather just do so much charity because he hates being alone.
Instead of texting like the homies, like, what you doing? He's texting schools like, y'all need anything right now? Like,
I'll come and play footy with the kids. I will inspire the youth.
Yeah, you need any inspiration right now? I've already seen every episode of Love is Blind.
I also saw you have mentioned you're a big gamer. You was it Warzone that you play?
I'm the best player in MLS at Warzone. I'm
okay,
right,
you see, my man got the compliment. All right, so I saw you also meant you don't play like FIFA or you know EAFC. That's not your game at all. Is it? What is it about? I mean, I feel like every pro athlete, a soccer player, they play EAFC. So you might be one of the few that don't,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, dude, you're not in Warzone. You're in that game. I don't know if you noticed. If I was in a game, I'd be playing that game.
Dude, I know. I can play two games and then I'll get bored.
All right.
But, all right. Makes sense.
I barely watch soccer. Like, I imagine playing on a video game.
I get it. This is like Ben White from Arsenal says it's kind of the same thing. Like, he doesn't really
watch too much of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is it? Warzone is the game?
Yeah.
Is it
first person shooter?
Yeah. But is it a PC or is it a console?
Yeah, I was
going
to ask you. You do a console or you do PC?
PS5.
All right.
I was on PC, but I went back to PS5.
All right. So Austin is on the road. Is one person designated as the PS5 guy and everyone hang out in their room and do competitions? Or are you by yourself playing this game being like, yo, y'all too weak for me?
In the headset, fighting, you know, arguing with 12-year-olds.
I run it by myself. That's how good I am. And I don't even care about what anyone has to say. I would take anyone on this game, I swear to God.
Yo, I'm gonna start learning to play. See if I can take out Danny Barrera.
We gotta. I haven't really played like a first person shooter in a long time.
We have a PS5 right here.
We do. Maybe we gotta download it.
I've been trying to get the MLS to do a Warzone tournament for teams and like.
Yeah, because they do that.
There's a new wrinkle for EMLS.
They do EMLS. Yeah, that might be kind of fun. All right. Well, look, Danny, we'll work on something, bro.
Also, we're gonna email some video game creators. Let's get you into the game.
Get a Danny Pereira skin.
I play every day, dude. Like I'm telling you, I'm cracked.
That's crazy.
Remarkable. Right. Yeah. Any other? Do you Fortnite? Do all the other ones or no? Just
Warzone. Yeah, I don't switch it up.
I want to ask you. You have a new player on the team, Brendan Vasquez. That's a big man. You know what I mean? That's a big dude. But you obviously in training, you may have to help defend him every once in a while. You're in midfield. This guy's running past you. What? How different is? Because this guy looks so good wherever he plays. How different is it with this guy on the team?
Nah, yeah, he has all like everything that a striker needs. Tall, strong, good with his feet. Like he's just complete player, and I think he hasn't really scored, which is what he wants. You know, that's what strikers. That's how they get good in their head. Scoring, and I'm sure when he gets it, he'll just take off, just how he has done it before, Cincinnati, Monterrey. So
yeah,
he'll be good.
Okay. Even if it's time with the national team, one of my favorite things about him is you just never know when he's going to shoot.
Sure.
All of a sudden,
You know, he leaves Monterrey and then they get knocked out of CONCACAF Champions League.
I'm not saying anything.
Clearly,
Monterrey rage quit.
Daddy, look, we wish you the best of this season. Continued success. Honored that you would hang out with us for a little bit and be dumb with us.
Yeah, shouts to Mikey, even though I'm allergic to cats.
I'm sure I'll see you at the next Latin Trap concert. We'll chill,
the Latin
bro.
Grammys, the bro.
You like the Bad Bunny, the last Bad Bunny album, the new one?
Yeah, I know all the songs.
I got tickets for his concert in Puerto Rico.
Okay, yeah. No mean to brag.
Wifey put herself in the auction.
The lottery? Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Amazing. All right. I wish I was married to you, Alexis.
All right. Well, there's a nice ending to this episode. Carter, becoming efficient.
Danny Pereira, thank you so much, brother. Best of luck.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Thank you so much, Danny Pereira.
Daniel, that was great. He was
what a wonderful guy.
Great dude, fun, just good personality, good vibe, just a chill guy.
Good peoples.
Yeah, you know, usually when you think of footballers, there's usually a lot of like, not a lot necessarily, but like a little maybe anxiety, just a little bit of edginess of just like, hey, what are you going to ask me? What do you want about?
Are you going to make me look silly?
Yeah. A lot of that. And he's just like, nah, make me look silly. I don't care.
Yeah, he was like, we make ourselves look silly on purpose.
So that was great.
Joining on the fun. Thank you to Austin for making that
happen. Austin and Danny Pereira. They got their first win this season.
You're welcome.
And he was a big part of that. Yeah. So, we also, I guess, it's a win for us.
In a way, we got 3 points.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So we're
doing better than New England.
We're climbing up the table quickly.
Yeah.
To wrap up today's show,
we got to talk about Newcastle.
Carabao Cup.
Carabao Cup.
The new winner, the new title holders of the Carabao Cup. Newcastle, the first time in 56 years.
There's so many. There's people say 56, some people say 70. I saw 70 and 56 referenced in the exact same article, which is crazy. Pick one. Some people said 90. That can't be true. but still, a very long time. Multiple generations of Newcastle fans have gone so long without winning anything at all. This is massive for their fan base.
Yeah.
Which brings up a question. We don't make fun of them the same way we do Tottenham. And it seems like they've gone longer than Tottenham. Tottenham won the Carabao Cup in 2008.
I think it's because of the being in London, no? Isn't that really the main thing?
Also, their rival Sunderland is like, up and down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is a great question, Alexis. Yeah. Are Newcastle Were they the Tottenham of the North?
Or does that make Tottenham even more Tottenham-y now? There's a lot of questions to be asked. But more important, is this the collapse of Liverpool? This is two matches in a row where they have lost.
Yeah.
They got knocked out of Champions League by PSG. Wonderful game. And now they lost in the final. The Carabao Cup.
It's interesting because they can have such a spectacular season, but now we're getting towards the closer to the end of the season, where you're further along in tournaments, further along in cup competitions, and you're going
to
start...
Your depth really starts to get tested.
I don't know if you can... I don't know how much of a in panic any team should be when they have the success that they've been having. They've been... arguably the best team in the world.
Easily. Well, not in the world. Best team in the Premier League. Easily. One of the best teams in the world. Even though they finished top of the Champions League, it still felt like they're a step below or behind where Real Madrid and Barcelona are generally. And I know in Champions League, they were way above them. But I mean, generally, on a week-to-week basis, you're probably more afraid of Real Madrid or Barcelona than you are Liverpool.
Yes,
I thought they were above PSG. Turns out they're not.
Generally, yes. But then this Champions League... campaign was just so different, but Liverpool
schedules are different for everybody.
Liverpool brought that form that they had in the Premier League to the Champions League and seemed to easily kind of go through that league phase.
Well, grand opening, grand closing, bro.
And then that's it. But then again, the Champions League format gets back to its original knockout format: two games, home and away,
and it's bow bow. Go back, you ain't ready yet.
You know, so it they were gonna hit some snags along the way. I wasn't expecting them to win every single competition that they were a part of, but
people were talking quadruple for them, bro.
Right. But the Champions League, I understand. We said it when they got knocked out. Like across two games, anything can happen. And you know, Salah having bad games, it is what it is, and you know they're probably still going to win the league and so on and so forth, but they'll probably, you know, adjust along the way. But now this Carabao Cup match, it's interesting because I didn't see, I forget who posted it, but they made a list of every final that Mohamed Salah has played in and his stats, and he's like, yeah, I think he has something like 2 goals across like 10 finals that he's played in his career for Liverpool and for Egypt.
Not a big game player, bro. Is that what you're saying?
But then again, now all of a sudden, this is the narrative. Hey, Salah, big game player.
This happened to Henry towards the end of his career.
To Messi as well.
Yeah.
In World Cups.
But towards the end of his career, people started sort of bringing this up about Thierry Henry. Wait a minute. He never performed big in any final, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he was the catalyst to get you there.
Yeah.
Mohamed Salah is the catalyst to get you there, right? He's exceptional on the way there. And then when you get there, maybe it's just defenders kind of clamp up on him a little bit.
The strategy is a little bit more focused. Yeah. But credit to Newcastle. They handled everything well. They, we're going to talk about Alexander Isak, but also Dan Byrne, weirdly, it becomes like, the hero of this game, maybe not weirdly.
Logo boy, no, but it's not the guy you would pick out of the guy.
Hasn't scored a goal, I believe, in like a year.
Yeah, well, you picked the right time to do it, bro.
Great goal. And interestingly, and I saw Kieran Trippier talk about this after the game, where he said that the strategy for set pieces was basically to get him the rock, right?
Get the big man.
They intentionally try to keep him as far away from Virgil van Dijk because they know how
great he is
in the air. So they kept Dembele, who's the tallest guy on the pitch. They kept him out basically outside of the 6-yard box, and it happened about 2 or 3 times in the game where they just send him the ball, and Alexis McAllister is trying to stop this 6'5".
Good luck, bro. Yeah.
Guy. And then Dembele ends up getting a header that. It came off his head the way it would come off his foot.
Yeah.
He blasted that ball.
I don't know. What do you have to do to your forehead to get that much density?
You got to get hit so many times. You got to take so many headers.
Buddy had a pit bull. I said this on the show, but a long time ago. My buddy had a pit bull. It was one of those with like the sloped foreheads. Like the forehead came out further than the eyes. And he said, yo, a bullet bounced off of his forehead. And I said, but is that true? And he had a scar. He's like, yeah, bullet bounced off his forehead.
A bullet?
Look, okay, why would someone in Newark in this era have a pit bull, Christian? Don't, you don't have to ask for context.
I'm just saying, it's just, you know, people have a lot of sympathy for dogs. I look, so do I. Getting shot is ridiculous.
Hey, he got grazed.
Did it ricochet? I must have ricocheted. Yeah,
it ricocheted off. No, not before.
Does the dog have enemies?
I don't know. Yeah, bro. the bullet ricocheted. Yeah. Bounced off his head. That's how dense his forehead is. Dan Byrne. Probably get shot in the forehead. Let us know how that goes, Dan Byrne. Don't do that.
I'll do that. All jokes, yeah.
Yeah. All jokes, right? We're just. Is that ha-ha button? No, that's clapping.
And then Alexander Usyk was spectacular. And I just want to say this about Alexander Usyk. Loving his celebration. Have you seen his celebration? Hey, he did it before a couple weeks ago. Just check these fools out.
Who are these dudes?
Who are these dudes? They can't hold.
Who was
it
that pointed at the guy on the floor? Was that Mbappe? Who pointed at my man on the floor?
Oh, yeah, Mbappe did
that. It's kind of Mbappe. Here's my question. I watch him as an Arsenal fan, and he reminds me of Henry. He's Henry-esque.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of people now saying that he might be the next Henry.
Yeah, which is...
Do you foresee Alexander Isak having an Henry-like career?
I don't think he's like Henry because he scores in finals.
Wow. Let's go. Wow.
With all due respect.
Wow. The thoughts on this show... are those of Christian Polanco only, or the thoughts of Christian Polanco?
You make fun of my man's hair? You know how it is, bro.
Isak ain't got to go to Turkey.
All right, but congrats to Newcastle. That was a big win, and it meant a lot for their fans. We saw Alan Shearer in the stands.
It felt good for football.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Shout out to Adam McCleary, man. He was like in multiple bars, crying his eyes out.
Yeah.
He's having a good time.
Cool to see. All right, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Cool Again. Shout out to Danny Pereira. Shout out to Brooke Miller hanging out and shadowing our producer and watching the show.
She two-footed Carter on the way in. I thought that was impressive. Yeah.
He said it.
We went. The VAR said no. It was already advantage was given, so there's no need for it.
So thank you for coming through, and make sure you follow us on Blue Sky at soccercooligans.com.
That's right.
On Blue Sky, everybody, the whole soccer community is getting over there. They're leaving that other website.
We're helping moving them along. Also, you could subscribe on this channel. That'd be great. You could also hit the bell. That'd be great. Most importantly, the first thing you gotta do is hit that like button, that little thumbs up. Buddy, that'd be huge help.
Exactly. Because, you know, I've been seeing some comments on YouTube. Some people are like, hey, I've been subscribed to you for a long time, and I don't see your videos recommended to me. So
you got to hit the like button.
Hit the like. Hit the little bell, bro.
Also, maybe throw in a little search. Throw Cooligans in a search, and you'll start to see more of us.
Okay. Maybe make us your wallpaper.
Yeah. Right? You know what? Make us a painting. Make us a pie, dude.
Draw us like you draw those French girls.
Buddy, if you do, we'll hang it on the wall. I promise
That's
you.
That's the way we get recommended on YouTube.
Let's start getting some fan art on the wall,
Let's
bro.
Do it. Let's go, bro. All right. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on Thursday. We have another awesome episode. We're heading into an international break, but we got a lot of
fun. International guest.
We got an international guest.
How about that?
All right. We'll see you Thursday. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.